Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Soundbites from the coach's last presser.
Don't know what I said, but I will say this. For all those lip readers out there, there's more than one word in the English language that starts with F.
Bite me with Coach Harbaugh.
Proud of our football team. Proud of the season. I told these guys in the locker room that hold their heads high because they did everything that a football team can do to be the best football team it can be throughout the course of the season. A resilient team, a tough team. A team that faced every challenge and just fought and stayed together and worked hard and made the most of every single day. And they were a joy to be around every single day and did everything they could do to be the best they could be. So I'm proud of them. We didn't win this game. Disappointing, of course. It's a big game. We didn't end up doing the things we needed to do to win the game. We played well enough to win, but we didn't make the plays or we had the circumstances and give the Bills a lot of credit. For the plays that they made.
That's John Harbaugh talking about last night's game. And look, I think he's right. It can still be a successful season without winning a Super Bowl. But I don't think Ravens fans want to hear that right now. I don't think anybody wants to hear it. Just looking at a couple things before we get to some more sound here during Bite Me. Hour number two, Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris. Rob Long's off today. His girls had a tournament up in New York. But we'll be hearing from him this hour. Here, a couple things. The Ravens have not won a game when trailing by 10-plus points at the half in the Lamar Jackson era. They are 0-9. And this is something that I lived through and I know very, very well. The 2018-24 Ravens have now joined the 1999-2005 Colts as the only other team in NFL history with 80-plus wins in a seven-season span without reaching a Super Bowl. So Lamar's built the narrative that Peyton built. You can't win in the postseason.
Man.
The only difference is Peyton won in year 8.
Yeah.
They went 4-0, obviously, in the postseason, went on to win his first Super Bowl against the Bears. I've seen a lot of people posting this about the Ravens moving forward. What are your thoughts about what Harbaugh said? There's only one team that really has that true successful season, but you got to hang your hat on something.
I mean, I expect them to say that. You know, this is one of those things where I know fans may not want to hear it. What do you expect the man to say? Is he going to embarrass Mark Andrews for dropping a pass in the end zone on 2-point conversion? You're going to talk about that? Guys, we should have held on to the ball, you know, we should be throwing your quarterback under the bus and Andrews. And you can't. You can't. It's just, and I do get frustrated with people because I don't care what sport you played. If you played a sport at any level, preferably like high school or above, like, you know how hard these things are. Imagine what it's like at that level.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be perfect all the time. Like, you know, a guy's on the run. He's off balance. He throws a ball that's a little bit of a duck. Oh, that ball looked terrible. Like, stop.
Yeah, I started.
Just stop it. Like,
I was looking at last night going, why is Sims in the game? Wallace is in the game now. And you look at this. Wallace had one of the best plays in the night. The play was made by Lamar. But when you look at the route that Wallace ran and coming back across the field when he saw the play breakdown, or I don't even know if that was the wide receiver design. Like, it's a delayed deep route. But man, what a throw on the run there to make that happen. And I mean, they had a bunch of those plays, but yeah, that'll all be forgotten because they lost. Here's John Harbaugh talking about second half coaching.
Yeah, I thought we made some great adjustments. I mean, they were doing a few things in terms of the way they were playing it, loading it up a little bit. And I thought our coaches did a great job, especially at halftime, even towards the end of the second half, and kind of cleaned it up a little bit. And we started running the ball really well in the second half.
Yeah, look, they're right on that, and the All-22 will show it. When you look at them coming out in the second half, three and out. Was it a three and out again for the Bills after that? Or maybe they picked up a first and then went three and out. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I thought the defense played much better. They just had the short field on the drive with after Andrews fumbled.
We gave him a couple of short fields yesterday. You gave him a couple of short fields. The defense was not able to contain the run, which surprised me. You still had the number one rush defense in the league. Cook's good, but I didn't expect him to have such an easy day.
Yeah, it was weird just because, like, I didn't even think Cook was doing all that great early on, and then Davis hits a big one, and then, of course, the touchdown where you're going, I didn't expect that. Just a weird one. All right, let's get to, there's one other clip here we want to talk about, and it's John Harbaugh talking about Mark Andrews.
Mark, there's nobody that has more heart and cares more and fights more than Mark, because we wouldn't be here without Mark Andrews. You know, that's what you say to him. So, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, destiny is a decision that you make, and it's a decision is how you handle, you know, what comes in your life. You know, and Mark will handle it fantastic, like he always does, because he's a high character person. He's a tough person, and he's a good person. So, proud of him, just like I'm proud of all the guys.
It is weird just looking at this game from all standpoints. Is that, you know, just going back and seeing how everything unfolds, I'm just sitting here going, I still can't believe that this team is out of the playoffs now, and we're looking at another situation without them being in there, where I fully believe, and I think the numbers showed it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it should tell you all you need to know about the team that the Ravens were going to be favored no matter where they played.
Right.
That it's telling you when you look at it statistically and you look at these teams that they're the best team on paper. Mm-hmm. That's why you see the small favorites and just how good the books are. Because if you had teased last night's game any way you wanted to, over, under, Bills, Ravens, you would have hit it. Because they were so, I mean, it's a 2-point win when the Ravens are a 1.5-point favorite at the very end.
I know.
Just very, very good at what they do. And I agree with him. Like, I hate this for Mark Andrews. I can't sit here and defend him, and he's got to be in his feelings. That's going to sit in his craw.
Oh, can you imagine?
Oh, God, on that stage, doing that? Nope. I mean, and it's not just one, it's two. And then, you have the chance to redeem yourself when probably, I don't know that he's going to have an easier catch to make than that.
I know.
But in the conditions, you're trying to make sure you secure it. You want to make sure your feet's right. You're getting in the end zone. Yeah. You take your eye off it for just a second to look back to see where you are, boop, and then it's over. And as much as you're reaching, and that's, I'm sure that ball hitting the ground was in the slowest of slow motion.
It's absolutely
to Mark Andrews in that moment.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying it makes it right, or you know, I'm not defending the guy. It sucks for him.
You can see it in his face.
Yeah,
he drops it and turns out, and he like goes, oh no, and then falls backwards, because we're gonna see it 9,000 times in slow motion.
Yeah.
Oh God. Let's grab a phone call here. Brian's in Ellicott City. What's up, Brian?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I'm still on my way driving home from the game, so I'm not really able to listen to you guys on the radio because I'm still out of the area. But I'm curious as to if any reason was given going for 2 points in that first try.
Well, I talked about that a little bit earlier. And again, in the moment, I'm thinking about would I kick the field goal there. Now, again, you don't know that you're going to go for two twice and end up losing the game by 2 points. If you knew that ahead of time, you're going to kick the extra point.
It was 21-19 at that point. So yeah,
late in the third.
So it's 2-point difference. If you make the 2 points, you tie. If you don't, a field goal still takes the lead. So.
Yeah. And exactly what happened, it transpired the way that you thought it would. And then you had all those opportunities, including at the very end of the game. Like, what sucks for Lamar is people are going to remember the fumble, the interception. They're not going to remember him driving them down the field to take them on a game-tying score after everything that went wrong.
Well, the opening drive, all the things he did.
Yeah. So, anyway, all right, we got some game balls to get to. We're going to talk to Rob Long here, get his thoughts on last night's game and how frustrating the finish was. But up next, we'll give out some game balls. We'll hear from you, 410-583-1057.
Game balls.
All right, time for game balls. Jeremy Cotted Norris here. It's a Big Bad Morning Show. You'll hear from Rob Long in the next segment as he's off today. It's MLK Day, so appreciate you guys joining us on a not-so-fun day after the Ravens lose 27-25 yesterday. But we are giving out game balls, and Ed, who gets yours?
I'm actually giving mine to Justice Hill. Derrick Henry obviously is, you know, big dog here as far as, you know, in the backfield. But I thought Justice Hill put on a nice performance. He's got speed. He's explosive. He runs angry. You know, he's only had 6 carries, but he had 50 yards and 6 carries, so over 8 yards of carry, including a 22-yarder. I think he's just such a nice change of pace from Henry. When he needs a, you know, needs a breather or whatever, he just comes out. And I think he's really good, and I'm pleasantly surprised because you meet him. He's average size, not very big guy, but he runs like he runs. He plays a lot bigger than he is.
He's tough, man.
He is.
I thought he was a good one. I gave him my up earlier because of how he played, and he was running really hard. My game ball, and got to tip the cap to him, went to Josh Allen. I mean, you can look at a lot of things in this game. No turnovers, lots of big plays, especially with his feet. Couple of the throws that he made late, he was finding guys, creating some extra time. Just thought he played great, especially down in the red zone, and a really tough guy to stop when he's got a head of steam moving forward, just like Derrick Henry, but in a different type of way when you talk about Josh Allen. So
yeah.
I gave him the game ball, and I think there are a lot of guys you could have looked at. Isaiah Likely had a great game. But, man, just a frustrating, frustrating finish any way you slice it.
Oh.
Let's go out to the phone lines, 410-583-1057. Antonio's in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good morning. Right. Good.
I would be better if the Ravens would have won.
Absolutely, man. It's a tough one.
Disappointing Ravens lost after a good season, though. Does this loss reflect badly on Lamar Jackson after his great regular season? Have a wonderful day, guys.
You too. I mean, of course, I think it has to, right? Because this keeps going on. I just gave you the stats. Now it's that 7-year period that the Colts had from 99 to, what, 05 until they won in 06. Nobody had more regular, what, it was over 80 regular season wins over those 7 seasons and not get to a Super Bowl. And that's exactly what Peyton Manning did. And now Lamar's in that same class. I brought it up earlier. When Manning did it, they won the next year in year 8, going 4-0 and making the run to the Super Bowl and beating the Bears. Does that mean the Ravens are going to do it? No, because everybody was talking about every 12 years, the Ravens do this, they win a Super Bowl with this, and they were giving out the numbers. Just didn't happen. And now you've got a lot of soul-searching to do. We don't know what the team's going to look like next year. There will be some cap casualties, guys getting moved out, a full draft class coming in, see which direction they go in. But the one thing I keep going back to, you were unbelievably healthy this year and last year coming into the postseason. Can you do it again?
This year they were very healthy. I mean, people told me, oh, Zay Flowers. I said, look at the roster. Everyone else is healthy.
Yeah.
You go through a full season and you come into the postseason like this, they were really healthy. That's one of the things I thought was going to be, you know, good with them.
And we're not saying that guys didn't miss games, but you didn't lose anyone of significance until Zay into the postseason. But then again, like, with all due respect to Zay, and I think he's ultimately important to this offense, that shouldn't have mattered, and I don't think it really mattered in this game. I think the things that mattered were the turnovers, the penalty, and then the drop passes. I mean, even Derrick Henry to start off the game, when Lamar makes a little move, gets out, and he's open down the sideline, he took his eye off the ball to try to get upfield too quick, and he dropped one. He may still be running, you know, that one may have gone to the house because now you got him in open space with defensive backs chasing him down.
Yeah.
Please. I mean, DeMar Hamlin was diving into the dirt every time he came trying to take out his shoelaces.
Yeah.
But I would do the same damn thing if I was back there and that guy's coming at me. So your thoughts on kind of what this team might look like next year, because the window doesn't close because you have a franchise quarterback, but it does close for the other guys around him, I think.
Yeah.
And it makes it more difficult.
Well, it might close for the team because a franchise quarterback is necessary, but that doesn't always win you a championship. You need players around them.
Well,
and some of them, you don't know what's going to happen with Andrews. I don't know what's going to happen with Tucker.
You know what a lot of this stems on? Whether or not Lamar restructures or not. Because this is... I saw somebody write it, and I want to give him credit, and I'm sorry, I forgot who it was, but... talking about this is the same point when Pat Mahomes restructured to help keep other pieces to make it work, that the most important person right now might be Lamar's mom and Lamar and talking to them saying, hey, can we get this done? And a restructure usually gets the guys some money up front, and you work some things out on the back end. But ultimately, we'll see if he ends up doing it, because I think that's going to be a big part of trying to keep some of these guys in the fold.
Yeah. No, I think it's important. And it's a real thing, because I think the team is going to look quite different next year. Just the way it is in this sport, particularly because of salary cap. You don't know what's going to happen. And this was, again, you had 2 years in a row, I thought they were the best team in football. No joke. Best roster, just the best team in the game. And I know that we were just 12-5 this year, and you know, the Lions are 15-2, and all the other Chiefs the same. I think the Ravens are just as good. Imagine being a Lions fan today.
Yeah.
Number one seed, you get bounced in the first round badly.
You actually do know what that feels like. But we can imagine what being a Lions fan feels like.
I guess, yeah.
Well,
this is why it's good to root for like the Jets and stuff. You don't expect anything.
Yeah.
You're never disappointed.
That's a fair point.
What was the thing? Did I send it to you about the Jets? Like, they've literally interviewed every coach that nobody wants. they're bringing in guys. I'm like, is that a real person?
And that's who they're going to get.
Hold on. They just interviewed Washington's assistant defensive backs coach. Why? Oh, he's black. I got you. That's why they did it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Meets the Rooney Rule. I don't need to get onto the Jets because I think you're probably right. Maybe it is better to be a fan of a team that you don't expect anything from. But then when you get something,
never disappointed.
It's like, great. Yeah. Kind of like the same reason I always tell women, hey, yeah, I've got a small penis. Yeah, it's just tiny. So then maybe that way when they see it, they're like, hey, it's not that bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, Joe? Isn't that how we work it? Anyway.
Yeah. Speak for yourself there, Chief.
Put
that evil in me.
Getting back to the Ravens, though, like, the offseason's going to be really intriguing in how they attack it. And, you know, like, fans want them to be a huge part of free agency, but when you're this good at drafting and keeping your own, it's hard to be involved in free agency. Like, yeah. The Derrick Henry signs are great, but you didn't spend a ton of money on him. It's not like you went out and signed a pass rusher. Yeah. You know, like, and they usually don't hit the open market, but like if Max Crosby hit the open market, you know how much money he'd be getting right now? TJ Watt,
yeah.
Any of these guys, Miles Garrett. That's why I was laughing. There were some Steelers fans or people were saying, I forget who it was that reported it. It may have been Colin Coward that said it. I would trade TJ Watt, George Pickens, 3 first-round picks to go get a quarterback right now for Shedeur Sanders. And it's like, people are telling you Shedeur Sanders would have been taken in the top 5 in this year's draft. Yeah. And I mean 5 picks. I'm talking top 5 quarterbacks. What, people so undervalue all the other positions and overvalue quarterback. And I understand it's the most important position on the field, but you don't get rid of the rest of your team to try to go find a guy. If you knew a guy was the guy, like if Washington said, hey, you're going to offer us what for Jaden Daniels and you're giving up 3 first-round picks, a pass rusher, I think they'd be.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stupid for doing it too, but you know, it just like people come up with these stupid ass trades and oh, this is what you need to do to better your team. Don't listen to the talking heads out there because I don't think they know what they're talking about. Anyway, all right, we've got Rob Long's gonna be joining us next. We'll get a chance to talk to him. Some more fan reaction coming up a little bit later in the show as well. 410-583-1057. You'll get Preston's report card. We got a lot to break down right here on 105.7 The Fan. Rob Long joins us next. We get his thoughts on what went wrong for the Ravens yesterday.
Monday Morning Quarterback is brought to you by Catholic Charities. Improving the lives of Marylanders is a team effort. Join the huddle at cc-md.org.
Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Conrad Norris. Rob Long is off today. Got a basketball tournament up in New York, but we welcome him to the program right now. Rob, what's up, man?
What's going on, gentlemen? Just here, Robbie and I enjoy some breakfast.
Hey, so give me this real quick, just initial thoughts on what you saw last night.
I'm disappointed, but I'm not shocked. And I know that's hard to say, but I am. I mean, because we've seen this before. I'm greatly disappointed, don't get me wrong. But I didn't wake up with the same amount of shock that I woke up last season when this happened. You know, it just, I'm sorry. I think the national narrative on this team is they find a way to lose in games like this. It's funny. I was out at a spot last night with the team watching the game. And even though the game wasn't over yet, we left at halftime to get back to our rooms. But the narrative from other fans was they'll find a way to lose this game. And I wanted to, you know, defend them, almost got angry about it. But at the end of the game, that's exactly what happened. Three turnovers. Mark Andrews stripped the way that Zay Flowers was last year. That put them in a situation where they had to get 8 points and then the drop in the 2-point conversion. You know, unfortunately, the narrative that you know, the fans from other teams, not even Buffalo Bills fans, had where I was last night was that the Ravens would find a way to lose.
Yeah. I mean, sadly, it seems like they do. You know, none of us were. I don't think he's shocked by this. Disappointed for sure. But
see,
somehow,
I'm glad you said that, Ed, because I almost felt cold by saying that. I wasn't shocked.
The end of the game, when it was clear it was in the bag after, I'm like, whatever. I'm not kidding. I mean, I just basically shrugged my shoulders I'm just going, yeah, well, that's how it goes here. Why would I think it otherwise? I was surprised, though, that the Bills could run as easy. Like, Josh Allen only threw for 126 yards. His passer rating was 87. I mean, he did not have a good day, but they had almost 150 yards on the ground, over 4 yards of carry against the Ravens. That surprised me, having the number one rush defense in the league.
Ed, you're right, but let's rewind his AFC Championship game last year. You hold the Chiefs to no points in the second half.
Yeah.
And you still lose. You know, you got the battle of the MVPs, and you made Josh Allen at time look pedestrian. You're supposed to win that game going away. I mean, if I would have told you Josh Allen would have had under 175 yards passing, a passer rating under 90 in an AFC divisional round game at home, you would have thought, oh, Ravens win.
Yeah.
If I would have told you the Chiefs held scoreless on the road in the second half, oh, Ravens win. Both of those things happened, and they didn't. They didn't win. And unfortunately, guys, this is how windows close quickly, because there has to be some kind of signature wins within that window to keep that window open. But when things like this happen, I don't care how well an organization runs, individuals start looking around and pointing fingers. That's human nature. And when you start doing that, that's when the window closes quickly. It'll be interesting. This is going to be an interesting offseason for the Baltimore Ravens, not so much from Eric DaCosta's standpoint, but from the individual player's standpoint, the 53 on the roster. Let's see how they take this because, like I said, windows seem to close a lot quicker during times like this.
Yeah, one of the things that was pointed out I saw online is that a big offseason talk is going to be the restructuring of Lamar's contract, because this is the same point that Pat Mahomes restructured his. That could really help the team out, but we'll see how that goes. This has been a new part of the negotiating thing with Lamar to see if he's willing to do that.
Let's hope he is. I mean, for all accounts that we know, the guy seems to be a winner. He wants to win. And you know, you restructure your contract, that means you don't get your money. It just means you get your money in a different way. You're still going to get your money. And often we know, guys, when you restructure, you get more money up front. So I hope they see it that way and do what's best for the team. Again, doing what's best for the team. As always with Tom Brady, he took less money. But Tom Brady restructured his contract a lot of times to make it best for the team. Let's hope Lamar does the same thing.
Yeah, so I mean, as you say, the window's closing. You know, we're going to have this conversation out till next January about how they can't win in the postseason. This is, you know, this is who they are. Lamar chokes. This, they choke. They always do this. What do you see happening next season?
Let's not forget, you know, Mark Andrews should have made the play at the end of the game, but there were two turnovers by Lamar leading up to that point, too.
Yeah.
What do I see happening off season? Moment of clarity. Hopefully, a moment of clarity. I mean, guys got to look within, man. I mean, at a certain point, you got to stop blaming coaches. You got to stop blaming everybody. You know what I mean? This is what I said all year long or towards the back end of the year. They always talk about MVP, MVP. I'm sick of the MVP talk. Win the Super Bowl. When is that going to be front and center? You know what I mean? Enough. We've seen him be the best player in the regular season now 3 years. Now be the best player in the postseason.
Yeah.
Be the best player.
Well, he's
sick of the MVP talk.
Yeah, sorry, Rob. He's on the I just brought up the stats, but he's doing the same thing Peyton Manning did his first 7 years. Now Manning won the Super Bowl in year 8, but that's winning 80 games in 7 seasons and not making it to a Super Bowl, and he's starting to get that same label that Peyton got about being a regular season quarterback, whether that's fair or unfair to him. But those things are getting labeled. I did want to get your thoughts on the pass interference call before halftime, because that's another big part of this game.
Garbage. Absolute garbage. Since when do you push a DB down and the DB's call? You know, at some point, you got to put some rules in effect to help out the defense, for goodness sakes. It's almost like if you're a defender in the NFL, you have no mercy on you. Gee, how is that pass interference on the DB who's pushed down? He's backpedaling. He's in front of the wide receiver. And the wide receiver pushes him down and is passing the chance on him? Come on, man. Come on. That's some things are common sense.
See, a no call would have been better.
Exactly. Sometimes you just got to use your. That's 100% passing the chance on the offensive player.
And absolutely.
DB hit a play on the ball.
Yeah.
Well, it's either a play on the ball.
It's either OPI or no call.
It should. Yeah. If you're not going to call it, and then make it a no call, but you can't call it against the defensive player. Like it was crazy. Ball.
He pushed his arms off with his chest. That's what he did and fell to the ground. It's some of the dumbest things you see. You're watching the game, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the other games, Rob, because, you know, Mahomes got the phantom quarterback hit and late hit, whatever it was, to help them out as well. all the games ended up being really good, with the one surprise that we weren't sure what was going to happen was Washington over Detroit.
Jaden Daniels, my Lord. A guy. He's been here before.
Lamar's a poor man, Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels has been here before. He is something else, man. He is something special. Washington fans, you got something. Because that kid is something special. Yeah, I like watching him play. But, you know, I'm pulling for the three-peat now. Not my team's out of it. You guys know. I told you already. You know, if my team falls out, I'm pulling for the three-peat. I want to see one. Oof. I never see one.
Hey, Rob, you got your wish, though. You had a close game in the fourth. It just didn't finish the way you wanted.
It didn't finish the way I wanted. Yeah. You know what? I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you because Saturday we were in an overtime game. I was thinking, sports gods, I did not want this game to be close to the fourth.
Not the one you're coaching. You never want that to be close.
This is not the one I wanted to be close.
I want a boring game at the end. All right, so I know you're back tomorrow, but like, a lot of fans upset. A lot of fans are just sitting here in their feelings and want somebody to blame. Do you lay blame at anyone's feet? Is it Lamar's fault? Is it Harbaugh's fault? The team's fault? What are your thoughts?
Well, if you're going to blame put fault, you got to blame players. Multiple players. I mean, two turnovers by Lamar, the fumble and the drop pass by Andrews. This is not a coaching thing. This is not, leave Harbaugh alone on this. This is not a John Harbaugh thing. This is not an offensive coordinator thing. Not a defensive coordinator thing. Coach is coached. They coached. When you're in position to make plays, you don't make plays. You can't change the play. You're in position to make the play. What else do you want me to call? There's no call that I can make to have you catch the ball and not fumble the ball, to make you not throw the ball away. And I mean, no. You have opportunities that mean the coach did a good job. You didn't do your job because this was a lack of execution. They lost yesterday because of a lack of execution.
That's absolutely true. That's why I love people, you know, wanting to blame the coaches. I'm like, were they on the field? Did they fumble? Did they drop the pass? Yeah. No.
I mean, that was a great play design by Monk in there on the 2-point conversion, and I don't know great that Mark Andrews is going to have an easier play to make. And my assumption is, as you're backing up, you kind of peek behind you a little bit and look back, and just that split second of taking your eye off the ball is what causes that, you know, that fumbling, and then of course the reaching out and trying to grab it, you end up doing more damage and letting it just fall to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Rob, one of the other things is we now have the setups. You said you're rooting for the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Bills just looking at the numbers now. What are your thoughts on that, and maybe who we see in the Super Bowl on the other side as well with Eagles and Commanders?
Eagles, you're going to see a repeat. The Eagles and the Chiefs. Eagles are just unbelievable. The defense is unreal. Saquon Barkley is putting together something special this year. He's fun to watch. You know, Jalen Hurts plays well enough not to hurt his team. And I just think the Eagles just a throwback football team. They do. They remind me a lot of, you know, 90s or early 2000s team. They'll get to the Super Bowl. They'll face the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are three-peat.
Right. I didn't tell Ed. You know, I had a really nice Saturday. My Sunday wasn't all that great. But the only letdown on Saturday was that I had a three-team parlay. I had the under in the Houston game, the over in the Lions game, and I had Rosedale Christian minus 13.5. But the game went to overtime, Rob, so I missed my par.
I'm sorry, Jeremy.
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
That's why I said Rob gave Robbie credit for winning that game. I said the one he doesn't cover, that's what he gives him credit for. Right. And then he went to Buffalo Wild Wings six times in a row. So anyway. Hey, Rob, man, I hope you safe travels getting back, you and Robbie, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
We got one more. We got 10 o'clock tip off, hoping to go 3-0 up in New York. I've never gone 3-0 up in New York. If we win today, that's two trips that we played three games on, and that'll be 6-0 in those two trips. So let's try to get this win today.
Well, good luck, man. We're rooting for you to cover and win. All right. That's Rob Long, of course. Basketball tournament every year on MLK weekend. Or I say weekend, leading into the Monday that is MLK Day. So, all right, we're going to take some calls. We got plenty of people that want to get in here, chime in their thoughts on what went wrong, whose fault it is, how do the Ravens pick themselves up, is Lamar a choker in the postseason, all those things. We're taking your phone calls, 410-583-1057.
It's time for your takeaways.
Call or text 410-583-1057.
All right, time to hear from you, 410-583-1057. Jeremy Con Ed Norris, you just heard from Rob Long, as he's got another game today in New York. We take your phone calls. Let's start it off with Paj in Baltimore. Paj, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just want to say
to the Raven fans. You guys had a great season. It was kind of taken back by the fact that you guys didn't run the ball as much as I thought you guys would run the ball in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe some pick and pop screens, you know, a couple of slants and things like that would have worked in you guys' favor being in the snow. And I also want to give a big up shout out to all of the Commander fans, Commander Nation, HTTRC, that's Hail to the Redskin Commanders. You guys deserve it. I'm a Commander.
Paj, appreciate it, man. And look, the Commanders deserve a ton of credit. I don't think anybody could have expected this. And honestly, one of the few things I got right this season, like talking about future predictions, mm-hmm. is I had Washington in the playoffs. Now, I didn't have Buffalo. I didn't have the Texans. There's a lot of teams I didn't have, but I had Washington. That's the one thing I can hang my hat on.
12-5 team.
It's pretty ridiculous how good they were this year. Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, you're on the Fan.
What's good, fellas?
What's up, Kev?
Not a lot, man. I know Mark Andrews let us down, of course. He just didn't come through. It happens on that end, right? But for me, yeah, the narrative is Lamar's choking because he's the one that put us behind the gun, dude, with the turnovers. I would never – you can't expect an NFL MVP 7 years in the league to play that bad and continue to try and perform miracles. It's not going to work out well, and I'll admit it. Lamar is absolutely choking in the playoffs, and it's heartbreaking, fellas, but I love him to death, but yeah. I'm going to be brutally honest about his game.
Tough
and
scene.
Right now, it's not playoff worthy. Sorry, Jerry.
No, that's all right. I appreciate the phone call, man. It's a tough scene because, again, I'm one of those people that sit here and say it's unfair to label some guy who can't win in the postseason, especially when he does have wins in the postseason. He doesn't have a winning record. One trip to the Super Bowl can clearly change that if you go on that 4-0 route, or even a 3-0 route, for that matter, can change the narrative of who you are. But ultimately, it comes back to it the next time you lose. So you've built this, and now you got to deal with it. Let's go to Daryl, who's in Baltimore. Daryl, you're on the Fan.
Yes, good morning, man. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
I thought it was a pretty good game. Not going to blame Lamar because it's the whole team. Everybody made mistakes on this one. This is just not Lamar. So it's time to come. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it, man. It's frustrating to see how things. Do you buy into that, Lamar choking in the playoffs, or is it a fair thing to say now? Because you've got more years of it now. I still don't feel like it's a lot of games, but you face better teams in the postseason. Obviously, there's more pressure. So when you're not winning, like, I really think that the Ravens had the best team in football last year and this year, and they're not going to the Super Bowl in either one.
They did not. They did not. And it's just very hard to not express your disappointment because it's repeated. It's not like once it was like, oh, man. It's been the story for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And particularly the last two, when you have this incredible team, this incredible roster, and it's like, that's how the season's going to end.
Let's go to Hubie in Baltimore. Hubie, you're on the Fan. What's up, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Jeremy, I really respect your analogy of Peyton Manning and Lamar becoming of it. I hope 8 is great and Lamar can overcome his chokingness in the playoffs when at the highest pinnacle. But going forward, that Jaden Daniels over at Washington, I'll be rooting for him, and now that it's becoming baseball season, I hope the O's don't do the same in the playoffs.
Appreciate the call, man. Yeah, again, like as someone said, hey, the Ravens season's over, now you get to look forward to the Orioles, and a lot of fans were upset with their offseason, so now I'm sure we're going to dive more into that. As my buddy Eric Arditi reported from Barstool Sports, last year when the Ravens lost, 72 hours later, the Orioles traded for a starter. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but Baltimore Orioles, it would be nice if you did something positive to help us out. Let's go to Mike in Severna Park. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, it's like when your parents used to tell you, hey, you know, I'm not mad.
I'm disappointed. Yeah.
just tell me what you think. Watching it, you know, the Bills, you know, they played a good game. Allen didn't make any mistakes. But it almost seemed to me like their game plan was to just take care of the ball, don't do anything stupid, and and let the Ravens beat themselves. And it's like they just kind of had the idea that, hey, as long as we don't turn the ball over and don't, like I said, do anything stupid, there's a good chance that we'll be able to win this game.
And I'm looking at these numbers, and I'm still going, I don't know how this happened. I mean, I don't know if people were... Josh Allen threw for 127 yards last night.
Yes!
120, and he ran for 20, but he had two touchdowns. Like, it wasn't... James Cook averaged 3.9 yards per carry. There was nothing that you looked at it and went, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. Or this guy had this amazing game. Like, Shakir, six catches for 67 yards. Like, I don't think... There's nobody on their team... Outside of Shakir, James Cook had three receptions, and then you got one, one, two, one, one, and you're looking at it going, so nobody had a big game on Buffalo's side, but they won. It was the turnovers and that big penalty.
The Ravens had over 400 yards in total offense. The Bills had like 270-something. It was a total like domination that way, but they had three turnovers to none.
Yeah.
They beat them to first downs, total yards, all this stuff. The turnovers, though, it killed them.
Chris is in Pasadena. Chris, you're on the fan. Chris?
Hey, listen, great team, great year. I think they did damn good this year, and they were fun to watch. You got to play perfect football when it comes to these last four games, and unless you're playing perfect football, you're going to get bounced. It just is what it is. I mean, you can call it choking, whatever, yeah. But, you know, they just got to put a perfect game together. You know, I think they did well. I think they ran the ball more than I thought they were going to, which, you know, they looked like they were dominating going into the third quarter, into the fourth, but just, you know, you can't turn the ball over. That's a period, really. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought they had stolen momentum and everything was going their way until that Andrews fumble in the middle of the field. And again, like when I'm watching, I'm going, did he just drop it? And then they show the replay and presence of mind, the defensive player punching the ball out. And it seemed like they had a couple of those. Like Lamar, when he was in the backfield and fumbled, it looked like he just dropped it. It slipped out of his hands as he was going down. Now, again, I don't know if that's him doing too much, whatever. But yeah, man, every time I go back and look at this, this one's going to feel not as bad as the Kansas City one, in my opinion, but it still feels bad. And because it's new, you keep going back to it going, how did this happen? How did you get to this point where you're going, you're down 11 at the half, and they really haven't done much of anything?
No.
You know, and I'm not trying, I hope it's not dismissive to Buffalo, but they did everything they were supposed to. When you look at the stats at the end of the game, you're going, that's it? How did they score that many points? What went wrong? It was crazy, man. Let's take one more phone call here real quick. Let's get Mike in Hartford County. Mike, you're on the fan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Obviously, same theme. I mean, you know, under 20 carries, and we haven't been beat yet this year. Every game we lost, we beat ourselves pretty much. And that's the only way this team is going to lose. Since week 11, you're number one in defense, number one in offense. And the only way you were going to lose was mistakes, period. We are just that good a team, and you can look at it. And some self-inflicted. I mean, that fumble, I mean, you know, he just kind of fell to the ground, and he lost it. So, yeah. So it's one of those things. It's just one of the toughest pill to swallow. Is when you beat yourself. Six carries last year. It's one thing if we had 20. It's one thing if you felt like the Bills, you said, you know what? This is the playoffs. They just flat out beat us.
Yeah.
It's a tougher pill when you always beat yourself. And that's every game you've talked this year. If we could rewind your guys, I'll be done in a second. Rewind your talk. I guarantee every talk was about beating ourselves, not about they played lights out and beat us. Every
yeah.
game.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mike, and appreciate the phone call. There's a lot of that, but I also don't want to be dismissive of the other team. But I agree wholeheartedly that when I go back to these games, like, you end up beating yourself when you drop passes, when you get net. And again, you can't dismiss the turnovers on the other side when guys are making plays and forcing fumbles. But the ball does bounce funny. I mean, Zay Flowers was reaching in for a touchdown last year, and that changes the game as he fumbles through the end zone.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Andrews comes up with a big play in the middle of the field, and you're going, oh my God, they just flipped field position and now they're driving in for what could potentially be a game-winning drive, game-time, whatever. And instead of that, the other team's going the other way and here you are. You know, it's just, it's a frustrating feeling.
I can't believe we're having this conversation again.
Yeah. All right, 410-583-1057. We're going to get to we'll hear from Mike Preston at 8:30, so stay tuned for that. We've got QB1 coming up. We're going to talk a little bit more about Lamar. We're going to continue to take phone calls all throughout the program, but the good, the bad, and the ugly's up next. Ed's got the good. Joe's going to do the bad, and
woo.
As always, what? Oh, no.
I'm just saying woo. I'm excited.
Oh, woo.
I thought you'd give me ugly since like you would want to off this time because Rob didn't bestow it to you.
No. I'm ugly.
Okay.
We do that next.